Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, September 11, 2023. And obviously the 22nd anniversary of the fateful events of September 11, 2001. We've also seen some crazy things happen over the last 3 years, haven't we? Where is this all headed? Is it coordinated? Is it all just a bunch of coincidences? We know that if you've been paying attention for the last 22 years, we've seen a push to control the lives of everyone everywhere in coordinated sort of fashion. And we know that, for example, there are folks who go to special schools that we know about, World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders Program, for example, where they learn how to engage in authoritarian speak in a way that is supposed to sound palatable. And there doesn't seem to be a retreat to any of this. Quite the contrary, there seems to be an effort to ratchet this up constantly. So over the last hour, we've been listening to the video, the watch along and Q&A titled COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity, watch along and Q&A, James Corbett with Ryan Christian and Brock West. And there's more, but I think maybe we should pause for a moment and just talk about this for a second. So we are encouraged this time of year, every year for the last 22 years, to never forget. But it's interesting that we don't, we're encouraged to never forget the trauma and the trauma-based program that has people behaving in very peculiar sorts of ways. We've seen that particularly in the wake of the COVID-19 shenanigans. Obviously, that's the link. You know, COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity. That is in view with James Corbett's documentary. But we are encouraged to never forget, quote unquote, the trauma and the programming that it produces or deepens. But isn't it curious that we're never encouraged to never forget or to always remember some of the other fun facts, all of the curious coincidences of timing, the insider trading and things like that, you know, Larry Silverstein and the World Trade Center property, the insurance, the fact that James DeMartini, I think it was the lead designer, I want to say, who was interviewed in January of 2001, who said, yeah, you know, the towers were designed with that superstructure, that outer structure, to withstand the largest commercial airliner impact, multiple impacts, just fine. And he said it would be, if a plane crashed into the towers, it would be like a, you know, sticking a pencil in the mosquito netting of your door or your screen door. It'd be like sticking a pencil in your screen door. In other words, it wouldn't do anything. The door would not collapse, obviously. There'd just be a pencil stuck in the screen. So we're encouraged not to remember that. We're encouraged to forget that 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudi, not Afghani, not Iraqi, Why didn't we bomb Saudi Arabia and turn it into a glass parking lot, as they say? Isn't that funny? Bin Laden himself, actually, was Saudi. We're encouraged to never remember that Operation Cyclone was a CIA operation. It was extremely expensive back then. $500-600 million to create the Afghan Mujahideen, which became the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, etc., etc., all of these splinter groups. And when interviewed about this later, Zbigniew Brzezinski bragged and said, well, I don't understand what the problem is, you know? What's the problem with a few stirred up Muslims? And you can read about that in the old Counterpunch post that's still posted to this day, Jeffrey St. Clair and Alexander Cockburn, the post titled How Jimmy Carter and I Started the Mujahideen. This is the interview, the infamous interview of Zbigniew Brzezinski by the French magazine La Nouvelle Observatoire, translated in English. And by none other than William Blum, who wrote about this kind of stuff. You will see down at the bottom of the post, the above has been translated from the French by Bill Blum, author of the indispensable Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Intervention Since World War II, and Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower. Portions of the books can be read here at the link below. So in that interview, Brzezinski intimated, we're never encouraged to remember this. I give you this is just an excerpt from the interview. So here are the questions and answer by Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, from the interview. Question: the former director of the CIA, Robert Gates, stated in his memoirs From the Shadows that American intelligence services began to aid the Mujahideen in Afghanistan 6 months before the Soviet intervention. In this period, you were the national security advisor to President Carter. You therefore played a role in this affair. Is that correct? Brzezinski answers yes. According to the official version, maybe I should read it in, you know, according to the official version of history, CIA aid to the Mujahideen began during 1980. That is to say, after the Soviet army invaded Afghanistan December 1979. But the reality, secretly guarded until now, is completely otherwise. So 20 years later, he's telling the actual story. Excuse me. 20 years later. So he says, indeed, it was July 3rd, 1979, that President Carter signed the first directive for secret aid to the opponents of the pro-Soviet regime in Kabul. And that very day, I wrote a note to the president in which I explained to him that, in my opinion, this aid was going to induce Soviet military intervention. And so the question, next question is, despite this risk, you were an advocate of this covert action, but perhaps you yourself desired the Soviet entry into war and looked to provoke it? Brzezinski answers, it isn't quite that. We didn't push the Russians to intervene, but we knowingly increased the probability that they would. And this is a provocative admission right here. If you understand the concept of what is known as lie hop, high hop, my hop, or you know, the acronyms stand for let it happen on purpose, help it happen on purpose, or make it happen on purpose, then you understand how the architects of statecraft, the Machiavellian contingent, how they think. And on this network, Lieutenant Eric Schein used to talk about Philip Bobbitt and the Shield of Achilles. And Philip Bobbitt has since written some interesting stuff. I thought about maybe talking about him. Maybe we'll do that at some point. The Shield of Achilles, War, Peace, and the Course of History. Guys like Henry Kissinger say, Philip Bobbitt's an interesting guy to listen to. So that gives you kind of a clue. But this is how they think. And most of us, you know, the general public does not think this way. We don't think in terms of trying to manipulate and control people, bend people to our will, and do it in a way that is seemingly plausibly deniable. That's precisely how some of these folks think. So to give you a little further understanding of this mindset and how these folks think, speaking of Philip Bobbitt, you can see under his Wikipedia entry, under the section titled Career, there's the a section titled The Garments of Court and Palace. And this entry, in 2013, Bobbitt published a study of Niccolo Machiavelli entitled The Garments of Court and Palace, Machiavelli and the World That He Made. In this book, he, Philip Bobbitt, argues that only by understanding the prince as one half of a constitutional treatise on the state, capital S, parenthetically, the other being Machiavelli's Discourses on Livy, can we reconcile the many otherwise contradictory elements of his work? Bobbitt also situates this constitutional treatise in the politics of Machiavelli's day. So that's interesting. This is the sort of handbook of modern statecraft, if you will. And I mean that with all intrigue in full effect. So these people think that in these terms, you know. Brzezinski says it isn't quite that. We didn't push the Russians to intervene, but we knowingly increased the probability that they would. In other words, created a situation that made it unlikely that they wouldn't intervene. And so what is happening when you do this? And speaking of that, you know, we could play the clip of Wes Clark, America's foreign policy coup, where, you know, the infamous 7 countries in 5 years, we're going to go in, tip these countries over, make them under our control. He said this was a lot of people point to the Democracy Now! Interview with Amy Goodman. The one I'm talking about is the Fora TV discussion where he's talking about his book, obviously, and he's on the book tour at the Commonwealth Club in California, San Francisco. This was the talk October 3rd, 2007, that was published on YouTube November 5, 2007, and it was a more informative 8-minute clip. But it's the 7 countries in 5 years, this kind of stuff. And the fact that the Wolfowitz doctrine types, the Rumsfeld types were saying, nobody's going to tell us who we can bomb, this is what we're going to do. But what is the bigger plan? What is the point of all of this? And why, if that was going on, and why has America been exhausted over the last 20 years in places like Afghanistan, spending trillions of dollars, north of $1 trillion, approaching $2 trillion officially, when we know that doing that, you know, over the course of generations will eventually exhaust a nation or a country? You can't do that forever. And why would you want to anyway? You're going to make enemies. So the reason for bringing up Wes Clark specifically in this context is that he talked about the fact that he sort of alluded to one of the instances where we say we're going to support people, very similar to Operation Cyclone, and then we step out of the way. American, United States military forces notoriously leave people stranded. We say, we will support you, Mujahideen, the Soviets are probably going to invade. What would you think if you discovered later on the Soviets probably weren't going to invade until this person that says they're going to help you shows up? Then the Soviets say, well, you know, we got to invade to push back this threat. And the people that showed up and told you they were coming, but they weren't until these guys showed up, they actually back out at the last moment and leave you defenseless, essentially, all by yourself. Would that upset you? It would most people. You know, and that's the situation that George Bush talked about that was the original pretext to invade Iraq. He said, Saddam Hussein invaded his neighbor Kuwait. No, he didn't. It was the same kind of thing. It was exactly the same situation where we provoked the so-called invasion through Kuwait and created the pretext, the surreptitious justification that George Bush talked about to invade Iraq. And there is all kinds of additional information. There's the stovepiping of intelligence through, for example, the Office of Special Plans. In this case, we're encouraged not to remember those things. That was the justification. Oh, we heard weapons of mass destruction. We're not supposed to remember Joe Wilson wrote an op-ed, you know, what he didn't find. He didn't find the yellow cake that he was supposed to go find. And as a result, his wife, Valerie Plame, was exposed as a CIA operative. But we heard weapons of mass destruction 1,000 times. There was stovepiped intelligence to justify it. Turns out there was none. If there were weapons of mass destruction, they were only those that were planted by the NATO contingent to try to set up Saddam Hussein. So we're encouraged not to remember those things. We're encouraged not to remember, well, just to finish with Brzezinski, continuing in the interview, the question, following question was, when the Soviets justified their intervention by asserting that they intended to fight against the secret involvement of the United States in Afghanistan, people didn't believe them. However, there was a basis of truth. You don't regret anything today? And Brzezinski said, regret what? The secret operation was an excellent idea. It had the effect of drawing the Russians into the Afghan trap, and you want me to regret it? The day that the Soviets officially crossed the border, I wrote to President Carter, we now have the opportunity of giving the USSR its Vietnam War. Who's been in that Vietnam War for the last 20 years, by the way? Indeed, for almost 10 years, Moscow had to carry on a war unsupported by the government, a conflict that brought about the demoralization and finally the breakup of the Soviet Empire. What do you suppose is happening here in America since we've been involved in Afghanistan? And speaking of that, we're encouraged not to remember about the we're encouraged not to remember the facts of the opium production and the fact that the Taliban essentially shut down opium production in Afghanistan, declaring it un-Islamic. What's going on over there right now? James Corbett mentioned that recently too, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Things we're encouraged not to remember. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Speaking of things that we're encouraged, you know, we're encouraged to never forget the trauma this time of year, the trauma-based conditioning that it represents when it comes to September 11, 2001, but we're not encouraged to remember some of these other curious things. We're not encouraged to be thinking, critically thinking adults, not reliant upon some expert, some poobah, some soothsayer to read the tea leaves for us and discern these things. And we have history repeating itself. Speaking of Afghanistan, and if you're not familiar, you can do the research yourself and see that prior to the invasion, well, prior to September 11, 2001 and the subsequent invasion of Afghanistan, the Taliban had essentially shut down opium production in Afghanistan. Taliban had gained control of Afghanistan and declared opium production un-Islamic and had all but shut it down by 2000. And what do you know? Immediately after the invasion, the surreptitious invasion of Afghanistan, what did Afghanistan have to do with the events of September 11? You know, people say, well, they were training terrorists. You only say that because that's what you've heard, but you don't understand what Operation Cyclone was and how and where and why those training stations were created. How many times have you seen on the news that there are CIA bases over there? The CIA is running operations over there. Why is that? And that through the CIA and friends in Western intelligentsia in the intelligentsia archipelago, the Afghan Mujahideen and Taliban, Al-Qaeda, etc. was created. That's an established fact. You can look it up on Wikipedia. Operation Cyclone. I think that's a good place for most people perhaps to start. It's Wikipedia. It's the whitewashed, sanitized version, but even what is whitewashed and sanitized is shocking to most people. Operation Cyclone was the code name for the United States Central Intelligence Agency program to arm and finance the Afghan Mujahideen in Afghanistan from 1979 to 1992. Prior to, and why do we say it shut down in 92? Well, because the network had been created by then and it can run on its own at that point, in essence. Prior to and during the military intervention by the, so even on Wikipedia it says prior to and during the military intervention by the USSR in support of the Democratic Republic of Afghanistan. The Mujahideen were also supported by Britain's MI6, who conducted their own separate covert actions. Program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups, including groups with jihadist ties. Why is that? And to understand why, you go to the old Salafi movement Wikipedia entry that includes the section titled Views on Extremism, which says Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Shabaab. Where do you think ISIS got the idea to behead people? I'm not a fan of anything United Nations, but even the UNHRC says that the two worst human rights violators on the planet are Israel and Saudi Arabia, and those are our dearest allies in the region. You can tell a person or perhaps a country in this case by the company they keep. And what another thing that we're encouraged not to remember is Muammar Gaddafi's what I call 9/11 truth speech. It was September 23rd, I think, 2009, I want to say. You might say it was the speech that ultimately probably got him assassinated. And he talked about this. Why is the Security Council able to push other countries around, but they never get punished for anything? He said we should open up, we should reinvestigate the deaths of folks like Patrice Lumumba and JFK. We should reinvestigate what happened on September 11, 2001. Pretty interesting stuff. We're not encouraged to remember that, but if you look it up, you can hear the translator kind of shocked. I can imagine him, the translator, looking around as he's translating what Gaddafi was saying, thinking, should I be saying this? Am I going to get in trouble for this? Pretty interesting stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
I want to get back to the video for a moment here in a second. And again, let me just back up and say, we were listening earlier to the Q&A. We didn't get much Q&A. The video, it's interview 1835, COVID-911 watch along with James Brock and Ryan over at James Corbett's website, CorbettReport.com. And it's a watch along and Q&A with James Corbett, Brock West, and Ryan Christian of the documentary that James did, episode 383, COVID-911 from Homeland Security to Biosecurity. And, you know, part of this is things on this day in you know, throughout the last 22 years, we are always encouraged to never forget. We hear about that. What does never forget mean, though? It's a sort of an opaque expression, somewhat meaningless. What it means in old school bad guy terms is we're supposed to always remember the trauma. We live in a society increasingly marked by trauma and trauma-based conditioning. And the reason that's so important is because trauma-based conditioning is very effective. Fear is very effective to control people. And as I said last Thursday, if you're paying attention, you go back to the Norman Dodd interview with G. Edward Griffin back in 1982 discussing Norman Dodd's leadership of the Reese Committee to investigate the tax-exempt foundations back in the 1950s, the early 1950s. You hear Norman Dodd talk about the fact that the Carnegie Endowment for so-called peace, international peace, from the outset, from its inception, the Carnegie Endowment was, so to back up a little bit, Norman Dodd tells the story about his conversation with Rowan Gaither, who was the newly minted Ford Foundation president at the time, and Norman Dodd tells the story about sitting down with Rowan Gaither, and when he shows up, when Norman Dodd shows up at the Ford Foundation, Gaither says, "I bet you'd like to know what we're up to here at the Ford Foundation." And Norman Dodd says, "That's why I'm here." So yes, and Gaither says, "Most of us come from places like the OSS, the precursor to the CIA, and it's important to understand the background there." You might read Jeanette Konant's The Irregulars and understand that the United States intelligence apparatus was crafted by British intrigue, the British Security Coordination, the BSC, and I think it was William Stevenson, Intrepid. Wasn't he the one known as London's man in Washington? I think. Anyway, to understand this background is important, and I don't know how far down the rabbit hole I want to go with all of this, but if you don't understand the backdrop of history, then the things that are happening now and where those things are headed may seem random, probably won't make sense, and so on. Anyway, we're running short on time. We don't have much time left today. Maybe I'll come back to that in a second. So the you know, speaking of the things that we're encouraged to not remember, let me just get back to the point about Afghanistan real quick. Opium production had essentially shut down. One of the things prior, the Taliban had essentially shut down opium production in Afghanistan. And when Afghanistan was invaded immediately after September 11, 2001, opium production skyrocketed. That's a historical fact. That's undisputed. And the United States military was brought in to guard poppy fields. You can ask American soldiers about that. And they'll tell you. So yesterday, James Corbett posted, remember what happened right before 9/11, 2001, it's happening again. And so the post reads, remember way back in the year 2000 when the Taliban took over large swaths of Afghanistan and set about eradicating the nation's poppy crop that feeds the world's opium supply? Of course you do. Well, guess what? It's happening again. That's right. After Uncle Sam's ignominious retreat from the graveyard of empires in 2021, and that's another interesting discussion. The great, you know, graveyard of empires is that area. Why is it so important to conquer that area? Because if you can do it there, you can do it anywhere. That's a different discussion. So after Uncle Sam's ignominious retreat from the graveyard of empires in 2021, the Taliban infamously regained control of the country and set about reinstituting their campaign to ban the cultivation of opium poppies. And once again, the results of that ban have been nothing short of remarkable. And so couple of things. Over at the Oriental Review, there is an article titled The Afghan War, No Blood for Opium, which is a good reminder. The server appears to be down over there. Hope everything's okay. And the other thing that you might want to investigate when it comes to this discussion, people will say, well, how can you say that? Because, you know, surely if that were true, we would do something about it. Well, go listen to, I think it was Richard Thieme's talk at DEF CON 26 in 2018, where he told the story of a CIA scientist who figured out how to destroy coca fields naturally and was finally told, he kept getting bumped further and further up the food chain or the chain of command, till finally he wound up somewhere around the Oval Office and he heard, quit trying to push this agenda to destroy coca fields because you're going to wind up dead. There are too many people at the executive level who make too much money on this stuff. So you might investigate that. Last thing I'll say for now on all of this, things that we're encouraged not to remember while we're encouraged to never forget is J. Michael Springman's Visas for Terrorist program, the CIA's Visas for Terrorist program over at the Jeddah Consulate in Saudi Arabia. So J. Michael Springman was the unimpeachable witness who was there, his firsthand testimony that he was telling his superiors when he was there at the Jeddah Consulate, I don't think we should be waving these people through. And finally, Springman said that he there were some spooky folks who showed up that weren't necessarily in his chain of command, if memory serves. These folks showed up and they basically said, look, man, if you want to keep your job and you ever want to work again anywhere, you will wave these people. You won't say anything. You won't try to cause trouble for these people that are coming through these visas. So that was obviously prior to September 11, 2001. And there are a number of other harbingers and things that many, many folks have documented along the way. Curious coincidences of timing and things of that nature. Speaking of the Homeland Security deal that I was talking about, last thing that we'll do, we'll play a little bit more of the video. I mentioned earlier one of the things you're not supposed to remember is that there was no Homeland Security, prior to September 11, 2001, but RAND Corporation had published a monograph titled Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, Concepts, Issues, and Options, written by Eric Larson and John Peters. That was published April 9, 2001. What a curious coincidence of timing. And guess what? Ta-da! In October 2001, we got Homeland Security. So with that in mind, let's just listen to a little bit more of the video we were listening to earlier, which actually is drawn from James Corbett's episode 383, COVID-911, From Homeland Security to Biosecurity. But this is actually the most recent watch along and Q&A that we were listening to. So go ahead, please.
Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died.
Unsurprisingly, many of the same characters that were involved in the promotion of the bioterror scare under the old Homeland Security paradigm have been influential in promoting the COVID-19 scare under the new biosecurity paradigm. The phrase Homeland Security itself was popularized in Washington in the late 1990s and capitalized on by the Answer Institute, which formed an Institute for Homeland Security in 1999, led by Randall Larson, a professor and department chair at the National War College. The Institute prepared a course on Homeland Security, which was to be co-taught by Larson and his National War College colleague Robert Kadlec. Coincidentally, the course was slated to begin on September 11, 2001. Part of the course syllabus included a review of the Dark Winter Exercise, which the Institute for Homeland Security co-created. The name Dark Winter derives from a statement made by Larson's colleague, Robert Kadlec, credited as a biowarfare defense expert during the exercise's fake news broadcast.
And the problem is we don't have enough vaccine to go around.
Meaning we don't have enough vaccine for the United States?
Well, I would like to think that, but we don't have sufficient stockpiles for the people in Oklahoma, Georgia, or Pennsylvania, much less for the entire United States population.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound encouraging. What do you mean exactly?
Angie, it means it could be a very dark winter for America.
Sobering. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Kadlec.
A career officer and physician in the United States Air Force, Kadlec would go on to contribute to the FBI's investigation of the 2001 anthrax attacks, and then serve in several key biosecurity-related roles in the George W. Bush White House. During this time, Kadlec helped draft the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act. Passed by Congress in 2006, the act greatly expanded federal power during public health emergencies and consolidated many of these powers in a new office, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. Then, in what Kadlec has called just a coincidence, Trump appointed Kadlec himself to that position in 2017. In his role as ASPR, Kadlec oversaw a joint exercise in 2019 named Crimson Contagion. The drill included the National Security Council, the Pentagon, the Department of Homeland Security, and a raft of other government agencies, and simulated the U.S. government's response to a viral pandemic originating in China and spreading around the globe. Like Dark Winter, the Crimson Contagion exercise took place just months before the events it was simulating began to play out in real life. And, like Dark Winter, it gave participants like Kadlec the chance to argue that biosecurity was a pressing national security challenge that the country was ill-prepared to meet. An argument that he made to Congress with Dr. Anthony Fauci by his side just 1 week before the first reports of the novel coronavirus spreading in China.
Coincidences. Lots and lots of coincidences. Curious coincidences of timing. We just got catapulted forward in time from September 11, 2001 to early 2020, obviously. And there's a lot more that we could talk about here. I haven't even talked about the profound implications yet. I would just point folks to Revelation chapter 13, really. Probably talk more about that as we go on. Some of the things that have happened, it's interesting. Just, you know, another funny coincidence I saw this morning, Stuart Varney and KT McFarland discussing the new world order that's shaping up that that has also been planned with the U.S. not at the helm of, as the world's only superpower. This is obviously something that, coincidentally, the World Economic Forum has been talking about in recent years, but even before that, going back to before September 11, 2001, the National Security Council has been publishing their global trends reports talking about the same stuff. So is it a coincidence that we see the future being written by the wargaming contingent, the scenario planning contingent? Or is there a little chaos, magic, and alchemy at work that we all sort of adopt in hundredth monkey sort of fashion? Maybe we should all become our own thinking people. Anyway, to the phones we go in the final moments of today's broadcast. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. And
good morning.
Again, sorry about this 911 situation.
Yeah.
When the C-130 is empty after dumping all the arms to the terrorists or whatever, you got to fill her up with something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're wasting tanks of gas going back, right? I'm being cynical, of course.
Yep.
You'll notice that the C-130 has never been discontinued.
Yeah.
With fighter jets, you can't really make money on them except for, you know, when they get sold or maybe resold. But that, those tankers, they are capable of making big money both ways, you see. So,
yeah, there were some recent transactions with the old generation fighter jets, and they are usually referred to as lawn darts.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when it comes to collisions, like whatever hit the World Trade Center, Isaac Newton and the second law are who decides and who's in charge. So
yeah,
if
exactly.
You study carefully the change of momentum after whatever hit the towers, you do the calculation, you find that the impact was zero because there was no change in momentum of the building. So
well,
there was no impact at all.
James, don't confuse me with the facts. I mean, come on.
It took me one day to figure that thing out. But the towers, I would say, based on what I've heard, there's no pile of rubble. So the whole solid mass was sublimated, which is when a solid turns into a gas without going through the liquid stage. So that's the kind of weapon they had. And that's how they did it. Back to you.
Well, maybe someday they'll be able to actually make that weapon. That's what we keep hearing. Someday.
Oh, no, they got it.
Yeah.
They got it, sir.
Yeah, they're trying. Someday they'll be able to make it. Maybe.
Well, we're not, cleared on that that security level. So, but people can figure it out. It's all in the textbooks.
Mm-hmm. You
just got to read them a bit and look at certain things. Again, and it took away the basic freedoms of not only people in the United States, but people up here. I lost my driver's license because of that.
Wow.
Because they changed the rules on driver's licenses and many other things. So it impacted us up here and, again, probably impacted everybody in the world.
And, it's been an interesting shift. You know, we played the video of Haunani K. Trask last week when I was saying we are all Maui, and she talked about how the missionaries came with this idea of, it was predatory Christianity, capitalism, and individualism. And now we're seeing the shift, you know, and that's why I've been saying individualism and collectivism are two sides of the same coin, where basically it's kind of all about me or it's all about us. And now we're seeing the shift from individualism to collectivism, predominantly in the form of kind of the communitarian bent. And like I mentioned recently, you know, guys like Etzioni are – There's always, I mean, you know, in law, there's this concept of, what's the word? It's legitimacy. And yeah. Who decides what constitutes legitimacy? Legitimacy is an interesting concept in law.
Yeah. Can I make a quick invocation here?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be ironic that all those rich people, super rich people, get their Maui and they get everything too on that island, and then one day that island just sinks down a 500 or 600 feet?
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yeah, that would be ironic. I wonder if that would be possible. You know, you can find the old videos from a few years ago, actually, of kids exploring the tunnels under Maui, actually, a few hundred feet down.
Yeah.
If we
can
believe that.
Let's make it 2,500 feet then, in case they got anything go rigged. I wrote a paper on how to induce earthquakes using satellites overhead. It's up on the net, I can talk about that another day. So,
I would be curious to hear.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and appreciate you giving me a chance to talk. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you, James. Much appreciated as always.
All right. Again, I'm sorry about what happened.
Yeah.
All right.
Me
bye.
Too. Speaking of the concept of legitimacy, political or legal, and I mentioned Philip Bobbitt earlier in the Shield of Achilles that is discussed, obviously, and on the Wikipedia entry for Philip Bobbitt, you see arguing that law and strategy are not merely made in history, they're made of history. Bobbitt presents a dynamic view of historical change that has a dark, tragic dimension. For he holds that the painful and indeed atrocious process of resolving issues that create conflict and war tends to cause changes that render obsolete the solution to that conflict, parenthetically, generally a new form of the state possessing a new principle of legitimacy, even as it is established. And so isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting and provocative concept? And the legitimacy is actually a link to the Wikipedia entry for political legitimacy. Anyway, back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize we were out of time already. I thought we had a couple more minutes. Brian, I apologize, truly.
You're all right. Another day.
Apologize, sir. That's what happens when I'm not watching the clock carefully. I glanced and I didn't realize it was that late. We'll probably talk more about this stuff as the week goes on because, you know, I have misgivings. I don't want to traumatize people further, but at the same time, it's important for us to have an adult discussion about what's been going on over the last, generation now. But that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.